This is the Best of the Adam Gold Show podcast, brought to you by Coach Pete at Capital Financial Advisory Group. Visit us at capitalfinancialusa.com. This is the Adam Gold Show.
You're a Steelers fan, right, Dennis Cox?
That I am.
How do you feel about your head coach?
I love Mike Tomlin.
You are a smart man.
What's not to love about
you
Mike Tomlin?
You are a smart man.
I'm sorry, where else would he go?
Like Matt Rhule. Yes, and I believe the Rooneys are also smart about their head coach. There will be a time where Mike Tomlin will simply have had enough of where he is or doing what he's doing.
Sure.
And maybe he'll need some time away. But if I were a Pittsburgh Steelers fan, I would not be looking forward to that time.
No. Well, we have a head coach in waiting. Brian Flores is on staff. So there you go.
That is true. That is true. Maybe Brian can fix that offense, but I don't think so. I don't think that offense is fixable. In many ways, we thought that Clemson didn't have a fixable offense. Or maybe NC State. I don't know. Chip Patterson time. It's Wednesday. Here's my man, Cover 3 podcast moderator, CBSSports.com. How are you, sir?
I'm doing great.
Wait. Last week, it looked like you were wearing a tie.
Listen, man, you're catching.
So tell me the sport jacket that you are wearing. By the way, if you're watching on TV, Chip is wearing a sport jacket. Are you just trolling me at this point?
No, we've seen the production schedule shift around at CBS Sports HQ. And so basically now I go either straight from spending this joyous time together with you every single Wednesday into a CBS Sports HQ preview of the SEC on CBS Game of the Week, or because Hurricane Ian is currently creating tornado warnings throughout the greater Fort Lauderdale area, we did need to tape before our great conversation. So I just got done breaking down every single aspect of the SEC on CBS Game of the Week between Alabama and Arkansas. But no, I understand that based on your lead in, you would like to discuss the Clemson Tigers. So
we are going to do that. The in my opinion, it's the biggest game that State has. I mean, Clemson's played big games routinely, especially over the last 8 or 9 years. NC State has not. And a friend of mine did point out that State did have a game at Wake last year, where the Atlantic Division was on the line, and Wake ended up winning that game, although there were still some games to be played after that. Let's just dive right in. I mean, this is the biggest opportunity for Dave Doran ever at NC State, maybe ever as a head coach. What happens at Northern Illinois? I'm not knocking it, but at a different level. Give me your thoughts on State at Clemson on national TV in prime time.
That it stinks that it's going to be a rain-soaked game, right?
Right.
That, you know, for those who stink, it stinks for NC State more.
Yeah.
It stinks for NC State more because Clemson has a quarterback who is the size of a linebacker, and that if it comes down to who's going to be able to be the bigger body running with the football, I think that Clemson's got a much better runner of a quarterback. I think Clemson's got a deeper running back room. And while NC State is great at the line of scrimmage, especially defensively, especially on the interior of that defensive line, if it comes down to DJ Uiagalelei's big body against a safety or an outside linebacker, DJ is going to win that battle. And if this is the same kind of, you know, slop fest where you're just going to, water's going to be flying everywhere, you're going to be running the ball a lot, then I think that favors the Clemson Tigers. And I almost wondered, I was like, does it count as NC State stuff that the biggest game of the modern era is being played under these ridiculous conditions? And that if we did have a crisp early, you know, October 1st, early October night in Death Valley, where maybe you could get those butts tight with a couple of quick touchdowns and maybe the defense forces a turnover or two, you could get that negative home field disadvantage going. But I think that, you know, with the storm in place, with the rain that they're calling for, It is going to turn into a game that, unfortunately for NC State, I think Clemson is very prepared to play with a lot of running the football and actually limiting DJ Uiagalelei's ability to sling the ball through the air.
See, here's the thing about it. Having watched Clemson now for the last couple of weeks, I actually think their passing offense is ahead of their running offense. And I don't think DJU is that good of a runner.
But he's so big.
He is. He's enormous. But he's smaller than he used to be. So I don't know what that means. But my biggest fear is that NC State couldn't get the yard they needed at East Carolina.
Oh, yeah.
Week one, but it's just going to be that much more difficult to do that against Clemson. But man, Wake Forest had a lot of success late. I know there were some negative plays that hurt them, but they had a lot of success late running Ellison inside, although State's offense is obviously very different.
Yeah, and there's our friend Connor O'Neill did a good job of breaking this down in his own review of the game. But, you know, the Wake Forest offense does a lot of take what the defense gives you. Clemson, because of the injury issues in the secondary, was not prepared to go man-to-man against Wake Forest wide receivers. A stunning, stunning turn of circumstances that if you go back 20 years ago and say, hey, guess what? Wake Forest's wide receivers are winning one-on-one battles against Clemson's defensive backs, and Clemson can't stop it. It speaks to what they've done in terms of the development at that position within this offense. But that was what happened is Clemson said, okay, we can't guard you one-on-one. We're going to have to play zone. We're going to have to go Boeheim this thing. And therefore, that meant that there were less bodies in the box than Wake Forest, because the offense operates in a way that takes what the defense gives you, says, okay, now we're going to run it. And you are right. They did have some success, far more success than we would have ever expected based on our analysis of the game going into it. But it wasn't enough success. And on the full yards per play basis throughout that second half, I don't think the entire body of work builds out such that it was anywhere as productive as Sam Hartman throwing the ball into those one-on-one matchups, where whether it was Jamal Banks, whether it was Donovan Green, whether it was A.T. Perry, Wake was winning those matchups and even getting the pass interference calls to keep drives alive. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was an interesting spot. And I do want to circle back to your comment about the passing game, because what has happened is that Bo Collins has really emerged now fully healthy as the best outside target that DJ Uiagalelei has been missing. Joseph Ngata is still a physical freak, but the secret sauce is the tight end, Davis Allen, and keeping him from being able to catch 50-50 balls in third down and red zone situations is going to be a problem. He ain't Brock Bowers, the Georgia tight end, who is absolutely phenomenal, but is that same style of tight end where I just think that the physical size and the athleticism provide such an opportunity where DJ doesn't even have to be perfectly accurate because of how Allen's going to be able to go up and get the ball and or prevent a defensive back from getting it.
All right, I'm going to use last week as a reference point for this week. It looked to me like, and I'm not sure that I'm giving either Notre Dame enough credit or too much. It looked to me like North Carolina is ill-equipped to play in those types of football games. Like, I just call it big boy football. That when it's normal football, when you're playing normal teams in the ACC, North Carolina is better and more dangerous. Like, it doesn't show up negatively when you play a good team like App or when you play at Georgia State. Oh, man, Carolina's got better players. But when Notre Dame showed up, Carolina's defensive line looks like the same size as Notre Dame's running back. What are the chances that State has a similar problem at Clemson?
I don't think that'll be the case because of NC State's performance in a win against Clemson last season. I think that in terms of your confidence, there's so many veterans on this NC State roster. There's so much continuity from last year's staff. I think that win should eliminate that kind of situation and that kind of impact here. Can I circle back to something on North Carolina Notre Dame that's sort of hilarious to me?
Yep.
That game was so much more lopsided than the final score.
Way more.
Notre Dame crushed North Carolina. And I finally found something that is able to exhibit that. Are you familiar with success rate? I'm not going to go too nerdy here.
No,
but
no,
I think
it's fine. Go as nerdy as you like. You're wearing a sport coat, for crying out loud.
Success rate takes all of football and it boils it down to the simple idea that every single down is going to be either a success or a failure, right? And that on first down, success is getting 5 yards or more. On second down, success is getting 4 yards or more. On third down, success is getting a first down. The defense, of course, being stopping your opponent from being successful. Then there is a formula that takes a game and says, what is the net success rate between these two teams?
Yeah, I'm about to be frightened here.
So the net success rate for Notre Dame in its win over North Carolina was only slightly less dominant than NC State's win over UConn and slightly more dominant than Alabama's win over Vanderbilt. So let me reiterate this in plain layman speak. If you look at every single down individually and stack them up on top of each other, the success that Notre Dame had against North Carolina was on par with NC State thumping UConn and Alabama thumping Vanderbilt. They did not look like they played in the same division.
That's what
I think. Those last touchdowns are just window dressing to make everybody feel better about themselves.
That was my takeaway from the game, and it was disappointing because when Mac Brown came into the press conference and talked about, well, Notre Dame's got all these top 10 classes, not really. Last couple, yes. The ones previous, no. And actually, the recruiting for North Carolina and Notre Dame over the last four recruiting classes is pretty close. In fact, North Carolina had a better recruiting class. I just used 24/7 Sports for my ranking. Who cares? I mean, the rankings are a little bit different, but they're basically all the same. But the recruiting isn't the problem, I don't think, unless we're talking about recruiting certain position groups. Carolina hasn't done well, which is probably the case. To me, it's about developing. Carolina just hasn't gotten the most out of their best players, except guys like quarterback and wide receiver and running back.
Yeah, if Drake May goes through his North Carolina career and the Tar Heels don't make a run at an ACC championship, it is a colossal failure by everyone around him, because the opportunity to make a run at a championship at a program that doesn't compete for championships regularly happens when you have a generational talent at quarterback. That is how Clemson leveled up twice with Deshaun Watson and Trevor Lawrence. And I'm not even saying national championship. I'm just saying an ACC championship, something that North Carolina has not had around in a long time. And I think that Drake May is that kind of talent. When you have that kind of talent in place and you know it early, then it is so important to find ways to improve everything else on the field, on the sideline, up in the booth, maybe even in the stands. I don't know. Maybe it's the game day management. I had somebody text me who was like, there's too many flutes in the band. That's how in their feelings are, North Carolina fans. They're nitpicking every aspect of the game day experience. There was so much excitement going into that game. You then coming off of a bye week to just get thoroughly pushed around on a down by down basis, massively disappointing. And look, if it wasn't Virginia Tech, I would be very worried about the lingering impacts of this game. But Virginia Tech is such a unique part of the ACC football experience.
It's a tire fire. We all understand that. All right. We'll get a prediction from you, if you will, on State Clemson when we come back. Plus, I'm going to ask you this question, Chip Patterson. Are the best four, maybe the best five teams in the ACC, all in the same division? Next. Senior producer Dennis Cox on the ones and twos today. V to the Victoria is on assignment, probably at a baby shower, since that keeps the Panthers' win hopes alive, apparently. Hopefully that will work out. She will be back tomorrow, right? Victoria, back tomorrow?
That is correct.
All right, let's get back to Chip Patterson, my friend, wearing a sport coat, still wearing a sport coat. He must have to go back on TV. If you're watching on TV at WRAL Sports Plus, then you say, man, Chip cleans up well. All right, let's talk about, first give me a prediction. Clemson hosting NC State in a monsoon in amid Ian, which, by the way, I have a I take umbrage with the fact that we're still calling this a Category 4, 155 miles an hour wind now, and it's 157 miles an hour. It's Cat 5. Can't we call it a 4 plus?
Are you treating this like iPhones?
Exactly. Yeah. Or like a grade.
Like
if I get an 89, man, it's a good B. It's a much better, but it's a B plus.
Hey, at Maryland, did they have A pluses?
What are you asking me?
I might have known
somebody that got an A plus. No, I don't believe we did.
Yeah, I always like to chuckle at how a 4.3 would be able to really boost up that GPA. I didn't have the opportunity.
No.
I found the classes, wink, wink, where you could get finished with about a 97, 98 average, but they only counted 4 for me as I was trying to stay eligible as best I could. All right, give me Clemson 27, NC State 17 or 20. I think Clemson ends up covering the number. I think that it's more than the over under total of 40.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous. The wind does suppress scoring. Anybody who's listened to the Cover 3 podcast knows I love a wonder as much as anybody, but rain actually contributes to overs. And the fact that this thing is sitting around 40 is ridiculous. Someone's going to slip. Defenders slip. It's harder to bring the ball down, and also fumble touchdowns because you can't hold on to it. So,
do we have data on how rain impacts scoring? When we have data on that, is there a certain mile per hour wind where, 13. Like, it really it means, like, I don't know. Explain that to me.
Okay, so if you get above 10 miles an hour, it starts to be more favorable. If it's above 13, like 13 to 17 is really the sweet spot. And if it's crosswinds through the stadium, you need to find the direction over the stadium as well. That's going to impact your field goal kicking. Yeah. That's going to impact your passing. Manhattan, Kansas, Ames, Iowa, Tulsa, Oklahoma, those are the spots where you really start to find the good crosswinds. But yes, wind, especially a sunny, windy day, is going to help your unders. Rain, everybody thinks, because it's harder to throw the ball, it's going to help your unders. But actually, because of the inability to hold onto the ball, how difficult it is to tackle and maintain your footing, that actually ends up helping overs, though it is not as much of an advantage as the wind-aided under, a.k.a. the wonder. I think Clemson wins. I think that it has nothing to do with whether NC State is ready for big boy football. I think that this is a Tigers team that, going up against Wake Forest, found a major flaw in its defensive backfield, and both the wide receivers of NC State, if this was being played on a sunny day, but then also the conditions, which are going to make it harder to push the ball down the field, limit NC State's ability to take advantage of that Clemson defensive weakness.
I'm going to circle back to Clemson at the end of this conversation about where they are in the national picture. But the other question I asked going to break, is it possible, because we have Wake Forest playing at Florida State, by the way, both ranked teams, whether or not Florida State should be ranked or not, not even for this conversation. Whether they should or not, I mean, there's probably 40 teams that look pretty similar. Maybe not 40, but, you know, when you get past, say, 12, there's not a whole lot of difference between a lot of these teams.
It's preposterous that Pitt is ranked. I mean, Florida State is ranked too, but, like, Pitt shouldn't be ranked.
Yeah, I got no problem with that
Kansas
at all.
Kansas should be ranked, not Pitt.
Right. Okay, so is it possible that the best 4, maybe 5, ACC teams are all in the Atlantic Division?
I think that it is. There's no possible about it. It's not even probable. It is.
Okay.
4 best teams in the conference are Clemson, NC State, Wake Forest, and Florida State. And to me, the distance leaves the door open for you to put Syracuse into that conversation. Now, I will say the underlying metrics suggest that Syracuse, while 4-0, is probably barreling towards a 6-6 or 7-5 finish. But good on Dino Babers for getting the 4 wins. No one's going to ask you to give those back. You are hopefully going to be able to get this thing to a bowl game and be able to deliver on that for the first time since 2018. But it is noticeable. You know, and Pitt has injury issues at the quarterback position, which have limited where they stand in this conversation. But Miami is a mess right now. Yep. North Carolina has its issues. Virginia and Virginia Tech are bad to the point where Duke is favored right now against Virginia. And I feel like that's one of my most confident picks of the week, is taking the Blue Devils to cover the short number against the Wahoos this Saturday. This is a bad, bad. What was it? How about this, Adam? Last weekend, do you know what the ACC Coastal Division's cumulative record was?
I know, but it has to be a smaller number on the left.
It is 1-6.
Oh, good.
And the one was Pitt beating FCS Rhode Island.
Well, they hammered Rhode Island, though, didn't they?
It was a 45-24, somewhere around that. Not a blitzing. Okay. My point is, it is so perfect that the ACC Atlantic Division fans for years clamored about how unfair it was. And then we saw a little bit of a shift back where it was a little bit evened out, a little bit more balanced. That here in this final year of division play, it is everything that they've complained about, because not just the two best, not just the three best, but the four best teams in the Atlantic Coast Conference can only share one spot in the ACC championship game. Give me ACC Atlantic winner -425 over whoever comes out of the Coastal in the ACC championship game in early December.
Now, that was on the money line, not -425 points. Yeah, I just want to make sure of that.
Correct.
Chip Patterson here from Cover 3 Podcast, CBSSports.com. This is my argument when the announcement came that we no longer needed divisions. It was the Pac-12 scrapped it. Why don't we scrap it now so we can have a better ACC championship game? I guess we were hoping that Miami would be real. Obviously, Miami is not. And I don't know who's, I mean, who would you make the favorite on the Coastal Division side right now? I think I would make it North Carolina in spite of what we saw against Notre Dame.
Right. I mean, like, Pitt's on its third string quarterback. North Carolina's got a future first round draft pick.
Right.
And by the way, if I was Miami quarterback Tyler Van Dyke, who just got benched against Middle Tennessee, I'd be, you can't enter your name officially in the transfer portal right now, but boy, I'm sure you could send some DMs on Instagram to be able to try to figure out other places that you could go. That's like, I don't know where this goes for Miami, because the offense is bad. And hiring Josh Gattis was supposed to be this big coup, taking him away from Michigan. But all of the worst fears for a Miami fan about Mario Cristobal's impact on the offense, like, that man he coaches like a defensive coordinator, which is so frustrating when all Miami has had is old defensive coordinators. I mean, Mark Richt wasn't,
right.
But this is like bad nightmares of Randy Shannon already.
All right,
like, this is not a good situation.
Let me ask you this question quickly about Mario Cristobal, because all I heard for however long he was at Oregon was that he's a good coach and all that, but Mario Cristobal always managed to get the least out of whatever he had on the field in terms of his offense. So why would we be surprised, or anybody be surprised, that Miami's offense is substandard?
I mean, it's the Justin Herbert theory, right? Like, how does that person barely move the needle, even at a place like Oregon at the quarterback position? Then he gets to the NFL and you're like, oh, wow.
Yeah.
Mario Cristobal was an offensive line coach. He was an offensive coordinator who was promoted to replace Willie Taggart, which, when Willie Taggart left to go to Florida State.
Right.
But that he coaches like a defensive coordinator, and they don't have the personnel to be able to go out there and win games 17-10. Their speed at the wide receiver position and the skill positions in general just isn't there. He recruits really well, and he's trying to build a program on toughness. But they went down 24-3 to Middle Tennessee, and they couldn't run the ball against Middle Tennessee. I made the joke, and you called me out on it, that North Carolina had an NFL quarterback and a Conference USA defense, Well, a Conference USA defense just limited Miami to 1.6 yards per carry. So maybe North Carolina should be the favorite because a Conference USA defense can go get you a win in Hard Rock Stadium.
Well, and the other thing is that my feeling about North Carolina is that when it doesn't look like they're at a physical mismatch, they're fine.
Right, which means that Pitt's the only real threat.
Yeah, and they don't have an offense. So I guess Notre Dame didn't either. Maybe Pitt will score, roll up 570 yards of total offense against
Notre Dame just moved a fullback to the backfield. That was a late development. Tommy Reese is like, I know that he doesn't have that many carries on his career, but I don't think he'll fumble. At least I think most of these defenders will bounce off of him. That's what the tape says. Ridiculous.
It was remarkable. All right, real quick about Clemson, and then we'll let Chip Patterson go. The question was posed this morning on another network that could Clemson make the playoff with a loss? And A, it's way too early to have that conversation because we don't have enough context. They play on the right side of the bracket, if you will, to where if they were to lose to State, finish 7-1 in the league, still managed to win the ACC championship by winning a tiebreaker because they have the win over Wake Forest. If they finish 7-1, whatever, it's still there for them. But how do we know the answer to that question? But isn't the answer it kind of depends on what everybody else does, and they're Clemson, so they're going to get the benefit of the doubt.
I will say that I am less confident in Clemson making it as a one-loss team than I was going into the season, and that is because the two huge games in November, when everybody is talking playoff and when the playoff selection committee is meeting, those games are at Notre Dame in South Bend and against Miami. Those wins are now worthless. Those could have been wins that could have righted the ship, so to speak, proved that this is a team that is playoff worthy. And I think that in terms of the college football playoff conversation, proving that you are a national championship contender, beating Notre Dame, even if Notre Dame continues to roll off some wins here, I think that at this point, beating Notre Dame and beating Miami, those games carry so much less weight that now Clemson needs to have a zero in the loss column to give itself the best chance of making the college football playoff.
We agree that it's Alabama, Ohio State, and Georgia. Whatever the order, those are the three best. I think it's still Ohio State and Alabama above Georgia, but it doesn't matter. Regardless, who's the fourth best team?
Michigan. I know they just got Terps gave them a wake up call, but what happened when you play a soft non-conference schedule,
right?
And Miami comes in a little bit more battle tested there. They were ready to rock and roll. I thought that Mike Loxley did a great job of getting that team ready for that game. And I think that Michigan probably didn't take it seriously enough, but Michigan's better than everybody else, except for maybe Penn State, but that game's in Ann Arbor. So as I sort of projected out, Penn State winning in Ann Arbor doesn't really happen.
So no problem at Iowa this week. I'm just saying.
Iowa is going to score 3 points in that game. That game is going to be 17-3. Michigan is ruthlessly efficient.
Okay, good.
And I think they will be 11-0 heading into the Ohio State game. And if that game is close, they're not going to win, but if that game is close, then they will be a one-loss team that is – looked the part and been in the top five all season. And I think that the SEC Big Ten showdown in the college football playoff is what I project as the most likely outcome with Alabama and Georgia and Ohio State and Michigan. And they'll do whatever they can to talk themselves into not having semifinals that are just rematches of games that have happened in the end of the year. But that's what we'll have going into the CFP.
That will be the orchestrated Final Four. We'll have crossover matchups. That's what we probably should have. Chip Patterson, you're the best. No dress code next week.
Hey, listen, we'll see what the calendar says. We'll see what the calendar says. Sounds good. Y'all be well.
All right, man. Chip Patterson. It's the Adam Gold Show. I am Adam Gold. Plucked her eyebrows on the way. Dennis Cox, senior producer on the ones and twos today. Because I listened to Can I Kick It often enough, it actually threw me when Lou Reed started to sing. It legitimately threw me. This is actually the song. Nice. All right. It's just
the sample.
No, not just the sample. God, what a great track though. Both great tracks. All right, let's place bets, shall we?
Place your bets. Here we are.
I bet you slice into the woods $100.
Gambling is illegal at Bushwood, sir, and I never slide.
Yeah. Okay, you can owe me.
I owe you nothing.
All right, let's have a little fun, shall we?
Let's do it.
Let's make a little bread. How'd you do yesterday?
I didn't.
Same. All right, let's ignore it. Let's move on.
All right. Aaron Judge, homer, +205.
+205 now. Yeah. You know, it's -300 for Aaron Judge to not hit a home run.
Oh, okay.
And I will just point this out. And I am not that guy, but
it
will be pointed out. And I guess I'm pointing it out. So, yeah, you're right. I am that guy. The Yankees have already played 154 games.
Mm-hmm.
When Babe Ruth hit 60 home runs, they played 154 games.
Yep.
So, for those people, and again, I am not one of them, but for those people, 154 games are over. Aaron Judge now gone 6 games since his 60th home run.
Yeah, 6 or 7.
6 or 7. Since his 60th home run. I hope he hits 12 home runs tonight. That won't happen, but I hope he does. All right. Braves, Nationals. You know that division is now tied.
Yeah.
Mets and Braves, flat-footed tie, 7 to play. Nobody's nervous in my house.
Yeah, why would they?
Former Rays right-handed starter Jake Odorizzi goes in Washington for Atlanta. Odorizzi, 5 or more strikeouts. Braves win +275.
Okay. Dolphins-Bengals tomorrow night.
Yes. Yes, they are.
Give me the Dolphins on the money line +165.
That game is in Miami? Or
in Cincinnati.
In Cincinnati.
I actually told our friend Joe Giglio last week, I said, I like Dolphins +185 over the Bills.
Market correction.
I guess.
Market. Actually, I think Miami could win this week, but my feeling is that every year, this is in the National Football League, every single year, and by the way, this could happen to Philadelphia too, even though I think Philadelphia is the best team in the NFC. Mm-hmm. Every year, some team plays the first 5 or 6 games, and you go, oh my gosh, they look like the best team in the game. And then it becomes real.
Yeah.
I think Miami is very good, though.
Mm-hmm.
I do.
Bengals are a 4-point favorite.
Yeah. That's a line that goes, why?
Yeah.
Right? Bengals cover. Watch.
Okay.
All right. But who am I?
That means they can cover right. As long as the Dolphins win. That's fine.
No, if the Bengals cover the 4.5, the Dolphins can't win.
Oh, that's a good
point. That's the way.
Never mind.
That's
never
my
mind.
Math.
I missed on that. Yeah, I know. Yeah.
I'm my math. Yep. All right. Aaron Judge, Vladimir Guerrero Jr., Giancarlo Stanton, 1 hit each.
Oh.
In tonight's Yankees Jays game, +235.
Okay, that's a thing.
That is a thing.
That is a thing. I'm gonna go to your Mets minus a run and a half at +115.
Yeah, I'm not feeling the way the Mets are playing right now.
Hey.
I'm gonna do a double here.
Okay,
do a double here. It's not a parlay, just two wagers, one game. Give me Eduardo Escobar to homer for the Mets at +500.
Okay.
Give me the Marlins on the road, +155.
All right.
I rounded up. It's actually +153, but I can't do the math.
That's fine.
With a 3, and nobody cares. And It's just easier for me. Just easier for me to do that. Yeah, I mean, it gets very real. The pitching matches. By the way, Mets and Braves in Atlanta might have their schedule altered. They might be kicking out the Saturday game, playing Friday, kicking out the Saturday game, and doing a split doubleheader on Sunday because Ian is due.
This is the Adam Gold Show.